This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Raph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Mind Muscle Project, welcome back. So last week we spoke about market and model. So we're in this, I think, somewhere between a 5 and 6 part series with our mentor coach, Sean Greeley, to talk about. We're doing like a full analysis of business right now. So we're going to completely overhaul and fix your gym. Or if you're about to start a gym, make it as successful as it can be. And if you're involved in any part of the gym, so if you're like, you know, a general manager or a head coach or something, this is still relevant information for you as well, because, you know, it's all tied to success. So this part, so the second part, we talked, like I said, last week, market and model. Now we're going to talk a little bit about model, but then really get into the finances of the model, which is super important. And sometimes, I guess, can be a little bit of a scary place for people to go to that haven't been there before or don't know what they're looking at or don't know where to start. But really, I think that if we give you guys a good understanding of all the different problems that's going to be involved, you'll probably identify with some of them and then be listening around to the end where we're going to help you, give you some practical tools and something tangible that you can take away from this to use to improve the finances of your business. So, Sean, again, welcome back for this next part. And let's start with, what are some of the major problems here when people dig into the finances of their model?
Okay, so money is always one of the biggest problems in business, right? Our goal is to make money, but then you get in trouble and you're losing money. And, you know, we've got to reconcile the time we put into our business for money and the return and all those things. And truth be told, right, you're going to put in more time and you're going to make less money for an extended period of time when you're starting, growing, or building a business. So if you don't like that, this is not for you. You have to be into this thing for a long-term horizon. And not to say you don't have to address and solve short-term problems, but a business is not going to make money and real returns, of significance until you get a long time into it, really, a time of like your learning, your development, your operations, your team, all this stuff, right? A lot of times people start businesses and they fail the first, second, third time, right? And then all of a sudden they get it together, right? And they get it right. And you got to have a lot of things right, not just you, but we talked about the market model. All these kind of things show up when we talk about money. And oftentimes you can be working on like financial operations and accounting and systems here, but this isn't going to, again, we talked about this in the last episode, it's not going to fix the problem because your market model is just not set up to win, right? So if we don't fix the stuff upstream, we're going to be in trouble, everything downstream here, right? So, but once we get clear on our market and our model, a big part of the model is the financial structure of our model, right? And this shows up oftentimes in problems like we're trending down, our revenue is trending down, our profitability is trending down, and your expenses are trending up, right? Or we don't know where we're trending. We don't have data, good reporting, good systems. We don't even, we just kind of go, what's in the bank account or not the bank account. And we're busy just coaching and running classes. And we laugh, but I mean, everyone in this room can raise their hand. We've done that, right?
So yeah, that's why I'm laughing.
We're all laughing because we're laughing at you. We're laughing at ourselves. So we all have screwed this up many, many times. That's why we earned the right to be on the show talking about it and giving advice today. You don't know what's going on. And not only you don't know what's going on historically, but the biggest killer is you don't have visibility looking ahead. And, we talk about, so Raph likes to bust my chops to bring the Americanisms to the podcast show here for us. We like to talk about this in driving a car. When we talk about accounting is the rearview mirror, right? Accounting is looking in the rearview mirror of the car, what happened yesterday. It's important to know kind of where you came from, and it gives you some insight into, what happened, and that can inform, where you are today, decisions about where you go tomorrow. But you have to be driving a car and a business by looking at the windshield, right? And looking at the windshield is what we call forecasting and systems for cash, not accrual money, cash money. What cash are we bringing in the door? What cash do we have going out the door? When, right? And we like to say, we teach a system we've taught for many, many years called Cash Dash, and cash forecasting that's week over week for 12, a rolling 12 weeks. So I want to know today, looking out 12 weeks by week, what's coming in, what's going out projected, right? And ideally we build some more confidence in those projections, stability in those projections, so we can start to have predictable business and we can start to make better business decisions. People run into problems because A, they don't have data, B, there's no predictability, and C, they make stupid decisions, right? And all those things are going to happen to you. And maybe multiple times, you know, that's, we get to repeat these lessons often in life. So we need to solve those problems to have a better financial structure for business. And again, some of this goes upstream in the model and the cost structure of our model, and just overall, what are we selling? What price can we sell it for? What does it cost us to fulfill that? What does that leave as a gross profit margin first and foremost? That's the first number we want to control in business, is gross profit margin, which if you don't know what that term means, we'll explain to you right now. It is the what you sell something for versus what it costs you in labor to fulfill that thing you sell, right? So in services business, let's just go basic. I sell a PT session for $100 a session. You know, I would pay, as a business owner, I would pay a trainer, I don't know, $40 to fulfill that session, right? So now I have a gross margin of 60% because there's 60 to the house, 40% labor to the trainer. And that's kind of the minimum standard of margin, gross profit margin we want to see in one-to-one services business. And we have different kind of thresholds we look at for semi-private models, for group models, so on. But the first number we can look at when we look at the model and analyzing the model and finances is, what are the gross profit margins model? And that's the quickest thing we can fix, because we can look at our pricing model of what we charge for new people come in. We can look at our compensation model, what we pay someone else or paying ourselves to do the work. And then we can start to change those things to move the needle on the business. Those are the first things to kind of look at.
Add on that, because we've had this experience as well. We were like trying to improve the profitability, and you always break down to three things. We can either like sell more of the memberships, we can improve the margins on it, or we can cut some costs. And I think most people usually go to the first or the third one. But the problem with those two is that obviously with the cost cutting is you're just very limited. You can cut.
It's only so many costs you can cut, right? Exactly.
There's only so many times you can keep doing that. It does work, but you can't do it forever. And you can sell more. But if the margins aren't good, which is a problem we had in the past with our old model, it never improves the problem. You sell more, the cost
just gets worse.
Exactly the same.
You've got more people to manage with less, you know, without margin, it's worse. Yes.
Whereas the margin one is the best one, because it can go on forever. It's not really like cost cutting. And then when you sell more, it actually works at a multiple of what it was in the past. You know, and I think people realize, because when you go from 60% margin to 80% margin, it's not a 20% improvement. It's a double in your improvement.
Yeah, because it's right to the bottom line, right? You don't add expenses. That's 20% now to your profit, right? Like, so it's just, it's an instant change. When you change gross profit margin, most cases, you're not changing expense or cost structure of the business, right? So it's instant improvement to the net profit, right? So whether we're adding 5, 8, 10, 15, 20%, right? That's instant profit. So you go from being in the red to being in the black, right? That is the goal of business. That's what how you get to stay in business. You get to be in the black, right? It's the name of the show, In the Black. So gross profit is the most important thing to control, to be in the black. And generally speaking, people in the red, they have a jacked up gross profit margin, and we need to fix that in the business.
And it just takes a while to sink in. Like, I think for a lot of people, you kind of know that in the back of your head.
Yes.
But it's after years that it actually starts to sink in, and you're like, no, there is a huge difference between 60 and 80, and it's all the difference in the world. And there's, you just have to confront it.
Yeah. And like, I think that's also the thing, you know, you've called out here, is we can tell you this right now, and I'll tell you what to do. But actually doing it, like, you're scared, it's hard, you don't know what to do, you know, all these challenges, like implementation, the concept is simple. The implementation is hard, right? And this is where everybody needs support, because you're working through stuff that you don't know what you're doing. You don't have the confidence, the skills to execute it. And it's very difficult, and you will screw it up and fail. And it's like, these are decisions that, and you know, systems that if you execute them poorly, your business will be gone. You will be folding up your business.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting. The in the product game, it doesn't really seem to be as much of an issue. Everyone's like, well, if I can sell this 2.8% cheaper, I'm making an extra $4 million a year. And it's like a pretty normal conversation. But in the service game, it's just a little bit more of a, I don't know, like a, you just, people don't talk about it as much for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it's like so human to human. It's so in person. People like get scared to try and make more money off someone. Whereas like maybe it's a little bit more impersonal when you're selling just like a widget and yeah. just trying to increase margins on it.
Right. We're dealing with humans and we care about them. And, you know, it brings in your psychology as well. We're Australia. There's all this tall poppy stuff here. You don't have in America, but here, you know, if you start doing well, everybody's going to cut you down. Right. Mm. And, you know, it's a lot involved in this that you is your mindset, your belief system, your personal psychology, you know, your communication ability, you know, to your clients, to the market, you know, we won't go too down as far as rabbit hole here right now, but when we talk about finances and we talk about setting price, you know, your price is the first sign of your value. It's how you tell the market how to value you. Mm. And who sets the price? You do. You know, so if you're not being valued by the market, you're the problem. Your psychology is the problem and your strategy is the problem. And ultimately your belief system is the problem. And it's hard to understand that. It's hard to wrap your head around that. It's hard to fix it when you are the problem or even see that you're a problem because everybody is defensive. You know, everybody's ego says, it's not me. I want to blame everybody else. Right. And it's really hard to look in the mirror and say that I am the problem and I need help to fix my shit.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it is interesting. So we've obviously told people how much they suck, but we're going to give them some solutions here.
Yes.
Some of the solutions are around some pretty practical tools, I feel like, that pretty easy to implement. And I say that because really a lot of finance stuff is like ones and zeros in many ways. It's pretty black and white in terms of ways to fix it. Like getting better at sales, there's a lot of gray area. There's a lot of nuance to it. But whereas I feel like, you know, you decide to charge this price and pay for things at this rate now and do this and that. Like you're just changing numbers and then you can dramatically improve your business. So I think it's a really practical episode for some people. Where did you want to start with some of these tools?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, you know, we look at first, as I talked about, is look at the gross profit margin of your model. And there's some guidelines we look at depending on your model. If you're delivering one-on-one services, if you're delivering semi-private services or group model services, of what we look at is kind of best practice in gross profit margins on a low end in a and these vary by model because, you know, in a one-to-one model, you can afford to pay more on labor and you generally would need more highly skilled labor. And you don't need a huge amount of space. You don't need a huge amount of equipment. So your different cost structure in the business versus a group model. You need more real estate, you know, more square footage in a brick and mortar, right? You need more equipment. You got other costs that are going to be higher in the business. So you have to pay less gross profit margin on the labor, right? So, that is just some general rules, like between, you know, 60% and 85% kind of gross profit margin is some stuff that we look at and we see in successful fitness businesses at scale around the world. And that we lead to and kind of help people look at and fine tune. So what does that mean? It's going to mean you're looking at your pricing. It's going to be looking at your packaging, you know, amazing. We still talk to people every day. We're still selling like packs of 5 and 10 sessions, you know, and not bundling services, right? Or not selling term length programs that are tied to someone's goals and needs, right? Like if your client has 50 pounds loose and you're selling them 5 sessions, that's your fault. You know, that's not good for the client. It's not good for your business. And now you're in a transactional model. Shit, you might as well just be selling pizzas and hope everybody calls up on a Friday night for you to stay alive this week, you know, to make a sale. Like that's the beauty of fitness is it doesn't have to be a transactional short-term relationship model. The nature of this business is we're helping people address long-term problems and goals. And so they are going to all require 3, 6, 12 month or longer commitments to serve people, right, in this industry and help them really get the value that they want. So how we package your services, how we present your services and solutions to the market and tie in what you sell with what people really need, helping them understand what they need, helping them to make a commitment to their journey, because it's really about them. It's not about you. And making sure we have good pricing and good cost structure in the model is where the opportunity really lies structurally, in fixing businesses first and foremost. And then looking at other things like your cost structure. You know, sometimes expenses are too high. People get into shitty leases. You know, the leases are hard. You sign bad leases, it's a little more tough to get out of that or renegotiate that. So we have to kind of work around it, deal with other issues the best we can. But I mean, one of the best, if you own brick and mortar, you know, and real estate, one of the best things to do is, you know, is don't sign a shitty lease, you know, and don't sign a lease that you can't make the economics and the budget work out for your business, because, you know, that's stuff that you're committed to and you can't change. As Raph said, there's only so many expenses you can cut. And generally, you can't stop paying your landlord, right? So we got to, you know, that's a tougher one to deal with. But the pricing, the packaging, the labor costs, and then have reasonable expense management on the other side is the places where we start looking at to change the game. And really, you do need someone to lay this out with you, understand the buckets, and start tweaking, you know, the numbers and tweaking the percentages. It is math at the end of the day, you know, but if you don't do this all day, every day, then don't try to do it by yourself. You know, get some support, get some help. It's an area that, you know, just be smart. You know, we would never advise our clients to go do stupid shit in fitness and get hurt. They don't know what they're doing. Nor should you do that with your finances, right? Just get some support, get some help. There's great support out there. All these problems are fixable in most cases, right? It's just going through one at a time. Market model, right? We get that clear. Okay, cool. Now we go through finance. We start fixing gross profit margin, cost structures, expenses. We look at your lease. Sometimes we help people renegotiate leases, or, you know, get out of leases and move. You know, it, depending on your market and your area, some landlords are negotiable. Sometimes they're not. Right now, we're seeing, you know, there's great flexibility in commercial real estate market, you know, because there's so much open inventory. A lot of small businesses have closed during the pandemic. So there's a lot of inventory, which means residential real estate is the other side. Residential real estate is booming right now. Prices are going up. There's not much inventory. That's what we're seeing in the real estate market for residential worldwide. But commercial real estate, there's vacancies, right? Small businesses have closed. There's a lot of open, you know, if you own a building and you don't have tenants in there, you're sucking wind right now, and you're more flexible than you've ever been to negotiate a lease to do some deals. So it's a buyer's market, in commercial real estate right now. And again, great time for to renegotiate, because if your cost structure isn't working for the business, well, a lot of landlords would rather keep you in there, you know, at a restructured lease agreement, then now have vacancy, you know, that they can't fill for 6 to 12 months, and they lose a lot of money. Again, those are things to look at with finance, but get help. You know, you need systems, you need good support to set up the structure, and then to run the operational systems of the business from a accounting standpoint. You know, you need software, you need good operational procedures with accounts payable, accounts receivable, you know, dealing with collections and debt, you know, if things happen there, how to manage and restructure your, you know, meaning like people stop paying you, how to restructure and manage your debt, your finances. You know, don't be paying stupid interest on money. We need a better plan so you can get out of debt, you know, and get debt free and then build assets and be liquid and have good operating capital for your business. All of these are things to look at. We want to plan for taxes ahead of time. You know, it always shocks me. People are like, oh shit, I got this tax bill, you know. No shit, you got a tax bill. You know, that should never be a surprise that you have to pay taxes or a tax bill just showed up. You know what? Taxes come every quarter, every year. They're fixed rates. This is very predictable. What that tells me is you're just irresponsible and you don't have good systems and you need help. And let's help you get that sorted, right? Like, I don't just wake up fat. I ate pizza. I ate, you know, ate donuts and shit, right? It's not a surprise. Oh, I woke up, I was fat. No, you ate donuts. You know, that was your fault. You don't want to do that. Don't eat donuts, right? It's literally the same conversation.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree.
I'll just share one thing that you taught us, Sean, that I always like as well, which is, I think when you're early in the business, you can always look at things and you look at it as like a one-to-one. You're always like, oh, like, do I get my money back on this thing I'm spending $100 on? But one thing you taught us, which is that if you want to make 20% profit, then the math goes the other way as well. You have to get a 5x return on all the money you spent. So same thing with your lease. You like look at the lease, like, cool, do I get a 5x return on this lease? Do I get, and you look at it for everything. Do I get a 5x return on this coach?
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure if it's a 5x return. Do I, you know, I'm buying whatever, new towels for the gym. Do I get like 5x the money back on that towels? When you start looking at through that lens, it's just the right lens to look at every aspect of the business. And it doesn't mean you're going to cut it, but you might think, oh, well, maybe this employee, I should work with them so I get a better return on the employee.
Yeah. Yeah. All expenses, you know, are investments and they need to be delivering a return, have a, to support the business strategy. And, you know, if we're not getting a return, either it's the wrong investment or we're not leveraging or working with that investment correctly to get the return. And we just need to start thinking like an investor and like a business owner and manager and good steward of our capital. So grow our capital and grow our returns, right? And ultimately allow us to stay in business and serve more people, make a bigger impact and, you know, buy a boat and pay for daycare, all the things that, you know, support puppies that we do in our lives to grow and be happy and support the world.
You know, what's funny is talking about the thinking of if this is going to get me a 5x return. So just maybe something that will put it in perspective for people that it applies to businesses at all level. But one of our clients heads up the AWS Amazon Web Services, which is basically like a hosting platform for like all the major apps in the App Store in Australia. And their revenue for that part of Amazon in Australia is like 1.8 billion or something. But they've hired
make all their money. Amazon is in AWS.
That's right. So they, I mean, it's really only a small amount of revenue compared to the total revenue of Amazon in the world, but in the AWS profit, in Australia,
their profits all in AWS.
Yeah, absolutely. And, but they've hired just to reduce taxes and talking about getting a return, they've hired, 30 accountants roughly. And that's, you know, that's probably about, you know, $3 million worth of revenue, in terms of, or $3 million cost. In terms of salaries, but Bezos has obviously done the math. He's like, I'll spend $3 million on salaries to save 10% on $1 billion of taxes. That's like $3 million to make $97 million, right? So that's just a way that you can look at it, especially from a staffing perspective, I find, which is like always one of those, I think, interesting perspectives from a gym, is because you never look at your coach and think, okay, I'm going to pay this person, whatever, let's say $70,000 this year. Will he make me back, you know, that 300 grand or whatever the 5x math is? And that's an interesting like thought experiment. Okay, if this person was to make the business $300,000, how would we go about doing that? And I think you then look at a coach's skill set, you evaluate it very differently. And maybe you can't get exactly that number, but you can definitely work a lot closer to that number. Do they have sales skills? Do they have retention skills? Do they have marketing skills? Like, what other value am I that besides just coaching classes? Because really just covering classes, there's only a little bit of value there. If you're trying to get that 5x return, they need a lot more skills.
Yes. Yeah,
and I think it's good as well for a coach. Like if I was to go back and be a coach, if you're not a gym owner yet, like your job's never safe, right? Particularly with COVID, your job is never safe. One of the best things you can do for your job is think about how do I get my business owner a 5x return? If you do that, you're going to stay forever as long as you want to stay.
Yes. Yes. Everybody wins. You know, a great, great quote, you know, I'm reminded of often is, can we afford it? You know, this is at the CFO and CEO level, like, you know, can we afford to invest in our people? And the other conversation of the coin is, what if we don't invest or can we afford to invest our people and they leave, right? Can we afford to invest in staff and then they leave? Well, the other side is, what if we don't invest in them and they stay, right? So we this is investing in people, investing in growing people and growing your team, you know, is good for everybody. It's good for the staff. It's good for the clients. It's good for the business. And, you know, again, if you're not able to do that right now, well, let's go back to fix your model. Let's fix your cost structure. Let's fix things so you can continue to invest in yourself, invest in your team, and be able to get the support you need to make this thing all that you want it to be and get the returns that you deserve.
Absolutely. Well, there it is. We've kind of broken down finance for you and obviously all the problems that are involved, and everyone has ever opened a gym has definitely had one of these problems, if not many more, and will continue to get these problems, and they don't change at different levels. They just become bigger. So you need to get on top of them early, paying taxes, having a good accountant, setting up proper systems, you know, budgeting, cash flow projections, all black and white mathematical stuff that you can fix now. So again, Sean, thank you so much for being on the show as always. And yeah, guys, make sure that you go to themindmuscleproject.com/MP. 2 episodes ago, we talked about taking an assessment for you guys. So check out that assessment tool, and your finances will definitely be a part of that. And now you've got some solutions to help you out with on this episode as well. So again, our website /MPE for those resources. And guys, as always, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.